Hello.
Hey, Brian. You've contracted Ebola. You have Ebola right now, don't you? Didn't you say?
What's that?
No, I'm just kidding. Are you afraid of getting Ebola?
No, I don't. Sorry, I had to close my window. I was getting feedback. I'm going
to
retouch.
Oh, you're trying to close your window to keep the Ebola virus out.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to help you, buddy.
Did you see the new rumor now that's saying that an Ebola patient has risen from the dead and that they have photographs of it? But the person that put the article up, when I seen it, they had a photograph up from that TV show, The Walking Dead. So they don't put the supposed real photograph up, even though we know it's not a real photograph. But they actually just put a photograph from a popular TV show, and people are okay with that, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that's good enough. Yeah,
why not?
I think Damon sent me a link to that, and it was, it was quite ridiculous. It was like CNN, and then he was talking about it. And then that's another thing. It's like you have to just not think to take that stuff in, because you got a guy passed out on the ground, right? And then they had a big crowd gathered across the street. And then so this guy's been laying on the ground the whole time for a big crowd to gather and for the news to get there.
Yep.
And so he's not bleeding out of the eyes. He's not anything that's going to give you any kind of visual indicator that he's got so-called Ebola, right? How,
exactly.
Why would you be there with a news crew and people? So how do you know the guy's probably just passed out drunk or something? He's passed out on the ground. I mean, see, dude, you live in Boston. How many people have you seen pass out on the ground in Boston?
I couldn't even tell you.
You could probably, scare the shit out of people. Next time you see somebody pass out on the ground, say, start screaming Ebola and run.
Yeah.
And then, cause a citywide panic. They'd lock the city down and have door-to-door people in black uniform. I don't know. It's retarded, man. I mean, you got a guy laying on the ground, and then when he comes back, he kind of comes to, and then everybody kind of, you hear people kind of cheering, and I don't know.
It's ridiculous, man.
Obviously set up, though. How could it not be set up? Totally set up.
Oh, it's absolutely set up.
Happy Horseshit thinks he was really a zombie. Come on, man. Yeah, it was a real zombie. It was real. So they show a picture from a movie or something like that, or a television show?
From The Walking Dead, yeah.
Oh, Walking Dead. That's a TV show. What is that on? HBO or something like that? It's about zombies
I'm
and shit.
I'm not sure. I don't watch that type of stuff. I'm not sure what channel it's on.
I haven't seen it or nothing, but I know of it because I guess it's like super duper popular.
Yeah, that's how I know of it too. I haven't seen it.
So anytime like I hear about anything like that, I usually Google search it or something and look at what's going on with it. I never actually watched any of it, but I know what it is.
Yeah, people will pass that around, and they had that picture up there. I don't know if there's a real picture of it, an alleged real picture of it, but they actually put that as a news article. It came from, like, a news source, you know, like one that was supposed to be kind of legit. You know, they're not, but, you know, it came from a news source, not like a person, and that's the picture that was attached to it. It was the character from that TV show. Absurd.
Yeah, like Bill is saying in the chat, so you got people that were reading, that was 1995, they're in high school, and now they're grown and kind of in the slave workforce now and everything, and they're the target audience of, you know, CNN and the psychological operations that they conduct. And And so they'll, I'm getting echo, man. I don't know what's going on. But they'll get this. Predictive programming, and they'll be scared shitless once they see this stuff come out in the news. No, that's the way it works. Just like before 9/11, if you rewind back 10 or so years, so about the time that the war fighting age, young men or young ladies too now for that fact, matter of fact, you look at the Disney films. Remember when we talked about that, Brian? The Disney films?
Yeah.
From back in that, you go, yeah, you just rewind back about 10 years. So they would have been about 10 years old, Disney film watching age, even before that, maybe 8-10 years old. And then fast forward 10 years, they're now 18. They could join the military. And Disney had been propagandizing their minds with bad Muslims. Every villain in every Disney film had one of them big head chopping swords and was this stereotypical arch villain that always just happened to be Arab.
Yeah, flying around in a cockpit.
Yeah, just every stereo. I mean, talk about politically incorrect, but that's okay.
Yeah.
If it's for
if it's the program,
demonized.
Of course,
yeah,
it's okay.
The program. So obviously that's part of the agenda. It's okay for Disney to demonize Muslims and Arabic peoples for, you know, a solid decade. There's that film too. Like, you ought to look at that if you want to look further into that. It's called Real Bad Arabs. It doesn't really go into the. It goes into how, but I think it's kind of limited hangout kind of thing. It's real bad, R-E-E-L, bad Arabs, and it goes into a lot of that. How, like, the Arabs used to be portrayed in a good light, or as far as, like, films go, they were, like, kind of romantic characters, and then it was kind of, like, this whole different idea, and then it just flipped from that to them being the perpetually bad guy. And and I don't think they go into the inference, I guess, that you can draw from the fact that, you know, that would have conditioned people's minds for the coming, you know, so-called terrorist threat, Islamic threat, or whatever. That stuff to me is just so mind-blowing, man. You know? I mean, it's like, to how extensively that we are completely mind-bombed with this shit. And how it's like long-term planning and stuff. Like, you could, like,
real long-term. Like,
yeah.
Many decades, always.
Decades. Like, ahead of time. And then how it all kind of just comes together in, you know, you have all these different
take terrorism, for example, mm-hmm. What you're trying to spit out, I think. It's like this big umbrella with all these little branches underneath it, and it spreads out over all these decades. That whole agenda was push this whole terrorism fear thing on everybody. And then underneath that, you have everything. You have 9/11, you have the war on terror, you have, you know, even the school shootings and everything. It's kind of all promoting terror, you know?
Yeah, and then I was just thinking about that. I was watching that. It's pretty good, that Sophia Small Storm, Sandy Hook. Have you seen that one?
No, I don't think I've seen that one. Sounds familiar, though. Maybe I didn't see it, or I've probably seen it posted and didn't see it.
Yeah, I think we're for me anyway, when it gets really good is when she starts going into the Department of Homeland Security's drills and how they she's kind of laying out this kind of she's going into some speculation, obviously, because you know there's I imagine there wouldn't be anything that kind of directly lays this stuff out, but I think she was right on the money about a lot of that stuff she put out there about how, you know, you got Twitter, you got you know, people carrying around these smartphones and communicating with one another, texting and stuff like that. And so this Sandy Hook as a drill, it is put out there. And it's a psychological operation / Department of Homeland Security / drill mass event, mass casualty event, and that how something like that, especially now since after 9/11, we got all this tremendous expenditure on all these. Robert Bailey sent me some photographs of around where he lives. It's like this massive complex. And incidentally, maybe not so incidentally, it was put on a site of an old insane asylum. Massive complex. Yeah, it's all, a billion-dollar structure there, building. And it's just, the new... our new department, Department of Homeland Security, it's all for them, and that's just one of the buildings. So it's like, what are all these people doing? It's like, what if all of a sudden are there? We know there's no terrorists. So what the hell, what are they doing?
And I would imagine many of the people that work for those type of agencies really aren't in the loop. They're really just chasing ghosts all day long,
Yeah. But, I think they're doing something. And it has something to do with these, I think, Sophia's Small Storm touches on it, does a pretty good job of
if they're, say they're wasting resources and they're taking money to fund one of these departments or bureaus or whatever, and they're supposed to be allocating that towards 9/11 or something like that, or Sandy Hook or something that's fraudulent, if they were... the people that worked there were naive and didn't know that Sandy Hook was a hoax, and the public thinks they're looking into Sandy Hook, but instead of looking into Sandy Hook, they're really spending all their time invading your privacy, digging up dirt on innocent people without warrants and all that type of stuff, and then they might go along with it because they know what they're doing is kind of a little bit immoral, but they won't think it's suspicious that they're not really doing the Sandy Hook stuff because they'll think that's their cover because what they're doing really is a little off. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense?
Kind of. It's kind of like they're compromised, like they're kind of dirty on
Let's say they got $1 million, all right, and they're going to use that to investigate 9/11 or investigate Sandy Hook, okay?
Who's going to investigate Sandy Hook?
Let's just say there's a bureau, say the FBI, okay? So say the FBI is going to investigate Sandy Hook, and they got $100 million to do it, let's just say, so it's a big number. They got $100 million to investigate Sandy Hook, but they know the real deal about Sandy Hook, so they're not going to waste $100 million on Sandy Hook. So another way that they could spend that money is to do something else nefarious, like, say, warrantless spying on people. And all these people that they employ that we think are looking into Sandy Hook, they're really looking into spying on us. But they're not going to be like, hey, we're part of a plot where we're not really looking into Sandy Hook like we're supposed to. Maybe there's something wrong with Sandy Hook. They'll just think they're not looking into Sandy Hook because they're spying on people. They're doing something else that people aren't supposed to know about. It's like it's their cover as far as they know. Do you know what I mean? You could fool, hundreds of people like that.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Maybe I'm confusing it. I don't know. I don't know if anybody in the chat gets it because I don't have it open, but it did sound a little confusing what I was saying. But
yeah, I kind of know what you mean. It's
keep them busy doing something else the public wouldn't want to know about. And then if they wouldn't be like, oh, why aren't we really looking into Sandy Hook? There must be something to it. As far as they know why they're not looking into Sandy Hook, because they're busy doing something else, like spying on you or something. You know what I'm saying? So they're supposed to keep hush hush about it.
But I don't understand why they would be necessarily having to look into Sandy Hook. I mean, it's the FBI. I don't see why they would be concerned.
Yeah.
As far as they're concerned, as far as what they know, is like, oh, it happened, and it, you know, it was handled by the state, and then that's that.
There might be people within that have questions, because you see by the thing they put out, the FBI statistics that listed nobody died in it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that know, probably in the upper
yeah.
level.
Yeah, yeah, all the lower people, I would think, would know anything.
But yeah, probably the majority of, like, the lower level people don't know. I mean, I bet you that there's, if you were to go to, like, the volunteer paramedic people, those people around there, they probably, like, really didn't know what was going on.
That's what I'm saying. Even the people with the desk jobs, like inside the FBI, not the supervisors and stuff, but the people below them, all of them, they're probably busy doing something else. And so they're not asking questions why they're not looking into this or that, you know?
Yeah, but there's no reason for them to ask questions, because it's like, oh, yeah, this kid went in and shot up the school, and that's all there is to it. And then, like, they're not going to be more inquisitive than any other average schlub out there, I don't think.
What if the public was demanding it, and then it was said in the press that the FBI was looking into it, but the FBI knew they couldn't look into it because they turned over some things they didn't want to turn over?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, that's not the case, though. I mean, I don't.
Oh yeah, that's kind of a stretch.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
My breath hit.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that you know these, but you know, like what Sophia Smallstorm there is going into. She's talking about this. No, you got this elaborate setup with all these people being employed, and then when they carry this stuff out, they're doing all this like monitoring of people's reactions to it in real time with all this, this relatively new stuff that's out there now. You know, the smartphones and stuff. This is all. Fairly new stuff since.
So you mean like they're planning on these psyops involves technology more now because of the accessibility of instant media and things
like
that?
Yeah, think about that. I mean, since 9/11, I mean, there wasn't no people carrying around all these smartphones and crap.
Oh, no, yeah. Now they have to take into account for a fact, like, you do something, so everything is going to hit YouTube within minutes.
Yeah.
You're going to have instant reactions quicker, so maybe you could take advantage of that.
Yeah,
you know?
You're going to get real time. So 9/11 happens, right? It's psychological operation and stuff like that, and you know they understood the psychology and everything that was at play, to a pretty great extent, stuff like that. But you know that was the excuse, of course, to create the Department of Homeland Security and have like all this infrastructure put into place. At the same time, when we're talking about coordination and stuff, we're talking about that with the Disney and all that. But, you know, so at the same time, you know, talking about how all this stuff comes together, you know, the populace is introduced to the smartphone and to Facebook and to Twitter and all that stuff.
YouTube.
So, yeah, YouTube, all your personal information and every thought you have in your head being put out into Google and put out on the internet.
Yep.
And, you know, and I've talked about this before quite a bit about the sentient world simulation. You know what that is?
Did I talk about this with you?
Sentient world simulation. They've had some articles that were put out about it, but it's like this Pentagon project that everybody – not only in the United States, but on the planet, has their own avatar inside of this virtual supercomputer.
Really?
The Department of Defense has set up. Yeah. And you have the Brian Stavely node in this simulation, and that Now they don't go in and they'll it's like a limited hangout thing where they don't admit to half of it. I bet.
Oh, I bet you. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't admit that all your searches and everything. They got a detailed psychological profile on you that they're running these simulations and stuff on in this virtual world. And I think that's part of all this stuff too. It's like you have, you know, all this stuff coming together right now at this, you know, point in history. You know, supercomputers, the smartphones, and then, you know, coordinating with something like and I think Sandy Hook was the first sort of psychological operation of its kind to where it happened. It was like one of the big major ones, the first big major one that they conducted with all of this new technology was brought in post 9/11. And now they can do all this real-time
simulations to kind of see what's going to happen for a reaction.
And looking at people's reactions, how they're responding, all these number crunching, because that's what they say that they admit to even doing this. Like they could take a scenario like in the city of Boston, for instance, like what will happen in the city of Boston if, you know, the water gets cut off or whatever, any kind of scenario, or Ebola breaks out in, you know, or a fake epidemic or whatever. How is Brian Stavely? That's how granular it is. They could go in and they could see how each individual node can react independently, and they can also zoom out and see how the aggregate is going to react. And then they could get, and they say, I heard this, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's like already at the point where it's at a very high degree of accuracy where they can put any kind of different scenario into this computer, and it can give them a very accurate model of how the citizenry in that area is going to react to whatever kind of scenario they want to put in there. And so, yeah, when you talk about something like that, and then you talk about, you know, all the smartphones and all the stuff, and she went into that. I did a video on Sandy Hook, like a couple of days after it was after it happened in the news and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And one thing I put in the video there is like that stood out to me is I just put one account of it. This woman that was talking about how she got notified that there was a shooting at the school through a text message from CBS.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had several people that come on and comment. They said, oh, yeah, you know, anybody can sign up for notifications from CBS. It's like, yeah, okay, I know that. I know there's apps and every, you know, every.
Yeah, but she got it like a media alert. She got it like a police warning almost, like
right.
A parent warning. It wasn't like something you get in a flash notification on your phone.
But. Yeah, but one thing that's pretty peculiar about that is that you get the sense that all of them had that. Now, what's the likelihood that a big, substantial segment of the parents that happen to be putting their kids in Sandy Hook school are going to also happen to have CBS notifications on
that? That's just craziness.
Yeah, that doesn't.
Because I have other guys that are friends of mine that don't even have like all the same sports apps on their phone. You know what I'm saying? And they play in the same fantasy football leagues and stuff. And some guys will have the CBS sports app. Some guys will have the Fox app. So to think that all these random parents that don't hang out with each other and just happen to have kids in the same school, I think they all have that same
right.
application on their phone is absurd because there's so many places to get news from.
And that's what that Sophia Smallstorm is going. She touches on that in this her presentation. she talks about these alerts and stuff that are part of this, because Newtown was or Newton or whatever was one of these it's like a city that was designated as under Agenda 21 as sort of a test case town for specifically dealing with people that are dealing with crisis situations and stuff like that. And then I think as a part of that, they got them all signed up on this, these text notification things, and they were going to participate in this drill. They didn't.
Doc Oz took that video down, by the way, the one where the kid says he.
Oh, he took it off. Yeah.
I still have it though. I have another copy of it, but they took it off the archive.
Why do they do that? That's just stupid. It's like, okay, the cat's already out of the bag, dude. It's like you're taking it down. You're just drawing more attention to it. It's like, I guess they can't help themselves.
I'm in a Sandy Hook group on Facebook, and these guys have been really digging into it for a while. They haven't stopped. When I got invited to it, I says to the guy, because he follows me on 9/11 stuff, I says to him, you guys are still looking into this. I mean, I thought this was pretty, pretty much we all knew it was a hoax and everything. You know, there's a lot of stuff to know. And there really is, like, it all points to it being a hoax. He's not trying to say anything else. He knows it's a hoax.
Yeah.
But more evidence pointing to that. And there's, like, they just got the actual state troopers' police reports released on there, and they all posted them up.
Uh-huh.
And if you read their testimonies, it's absolutely absurd what they did. They supposedly went to the front door of the school, and the door was locked. So the one officer after another says how they stepped through the broken glass that was hanging down and everything. And none of the cops bothered to knock down the glass for the next guy. They all went through, and all they had to do was reach around and open the door when they went through the glass. There were like 17 cops that decided to go through the hole with all the broken shards of glass hanging right next to the door, and not a single one of them thought to open the door for the next guy or to knock the glass out.
Yeah, that's bullshit. I know, some of this stuff, yeah, they could always get hung up on these inconsistencies in the story because there's so many of them on the Sandy
Hook. Oh, yeah, anytime there's a lie, that's the biggest problem. It's so hard to keep the stories consistent.
Yeah, they can't keep the friggin' story straight, man. And, another thing, too, is, like, they had the camera out front. That's one thing that Sophia Smallstorm was talking about.
What about it?
Well, there's a camera that's at the front at the entrance of the school where they said that he'd come in. Of course, there's no video of him coming into the school, right?
Yeah.
Then later, as the you see footage from the afternoon and stuff like that, they took the camera off the thing. And so there's pictures of like before and then later in the afternoon where the camera's gone. They took the camera down. And so it's kind of the stuff is kind of sloppy. I mean, they have like some kind of a story, a script that's prepared, and then they kind of as an afterthought, they like decide something maybe happens or something, maybe it doesn't play out exactly like they had planned it to, because it's probably hard to keep all that stuff together something like that, in a drill like that. And you see stuff like that, like continuity errors is like what they call it in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. The camera's there for some of the scene. It's not for others.
Or props that moved in and out of the scenery or something.
Yeah. It was probably a prop. It probably wasn't even. Maybe they had decided they weren't going to show any footage of the guy going into the thing because it probably was too ridiculous or something, and they decided, better not risk showing this. It's a little bit too...
And now they demolished the whole place, so there's no chance of getting any more of it.
Yeah, there was another video I watched. This dude showing how, if you look at the pictures that released of the Sandy Hook, how... like the school had extensive water damage, and you can still see it on the pictures. So they had condemned it in 2009.
Oh, so if it was condemned, it probably you would think it wasn't populated with children, though. You know, it was
yeah,
you know.
Well, I think they revived it for this psychological operation because I think it's Jungle Surfer or somebody brought up that, like, if you go in the web archives, you know, on archive.org, the Wayback Machine, and you look at the Sandy Hook School website, like from 2009 to 2011, they have, like, nothing, no archive pages on their site. And then all of a sudden, like, in 2011, it comes back, it all comes back to life and everything. So, like, you know, so they had, like, a year or two-year run-up to the event where they, like, revived this old condemned school and did the operation and all that. And then they used the St. Rosalima School as sort of, I guess, to get the cast the characters that were going to play some of the people that were in the alleged teachers at the Sandy Hook School or something like that. I'm not 100% on that, but I've seen...
Which one? What are we saying again? Say that again? I'm sorry. I missed it.
Well, like, the Rosalima School was, like, right next door to the Sandy Hook School.
Yeah.
And remember that footage that came out where it shows the police officers running into the school, and they showed that on CNN?
Yes.
And,
it was the wrong school.
Yeah, it wasn't even the right school. It was the Rosalima School that was next door.
Yes.
And then the shadows indicate that it would have been, like...
different time.
At a different time, like in the afternoon.
Yeah, much
probably
later.
Probably had to have been, like, had to have been, like, the day before or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's all that stuff that's going on. And, the guy Postal Service, have you ever watched any of his videos?
Yeah, I actually just subscribed to his channel the other day finally, but I ended up on his channel somehow just a few days ago, and I just subscribed to him, honestly.
Yeah, he's saying
P-A,
that there's...
P-A-L, right?
Uh-huh, P-A,
yeah.
Paul,
yeah.
As in...
Paul Stahl.
Paul
P-A-L.
McCartney.
Yeah, I just actually subscribed to him.
Yeah, he's saying that there's... I don't know if I go with him 100% on his analysis of, like, Don Hopsprung being the teacher, or I mean, being the principal at Rosalima School, but they show younger pictures of her to give the presentation that it's a different person, like Don Hopsprung. You know, they created a new entity with old pictures of the principal from Rosalima School, but he puts them side by side, and I don't think they're the same person. But then again, it could have been the same person altered, but who knows?
Well, the weirdest thing about Sandy Hook was that whole police scanner thing, Take the Life of Adam, where that somebody came over the police scanner and kind of like whispered that on the radio.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you can hear it pretty plainly, huh?
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I mean, even looking at it from our perspective, like, you know, I guess that's just part of the drill, and somebody was commanded to do that. So, but my favorite, the best thing of Sandy Hook that I hardly ever see any videos on is the whole Robbie Parker call-in, because our heroine of the whole thing is Mr. Parker, you know, who suffered this tragic loss, but yet he's the guy who called in to 911. He's the same voice. And, yeah, that's pretty funny. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's saying
he's at the school, and he's there on site, and there's a shooting. And, yeah, he was, like, one of the first people to call in the shooting. It's the same guy. It's the same voice. Well, to me, it sounds like the same voice. I mean, I'm not a voice expert, so.
Uh-huh.
But clearly, to me, it sounds like the same guy. So, yeah, you could YouTube it. There's not very many videos on it. I found it once back, and I thought it was a joke at first. And then I was like, holy cow, this is like part of the real 911 audio. I went I forgot where I got it from, but I actually listened to the whole thing, and it sure enough, there's old Robbie Parker calling in 911, never gave his identity. And so there's a shooting at the Sandy Hook School, and it's the same dude. Sounds like his voice to me.
Yeah, probably was. They always have, like, economy of actors in these things. I guess they only got so many people that are in on the deal and actors, and they got to kind of milk them for all they're worth.
Yeah, so
the guy in 9/11 that keeps showing, like, he shows up a lot. Dang, you know who I'm talking about? Gary Welts. Gary Wells or Welts?
I've probably seen his face if he's done interviews, because I think I've watched about every single dadgum video there is on 9/11. So.
Yeah, he's the guy that was, he was an actor, and then he's got like an acting reel and everything. He's been on television commercials. There's like YouTube videos that go into him pretty extensively. And so you see him as a witness for the plane, right? And he was interviewed on the news saying that he, you know, I was standing out on my balcony and I heard the noise and I looked and there was the plane hitting the tower and I saw it with my own eyes. And then he's like at the, I'm pretty sure it's him. They show him at the Pentagon. They show him on a, on the street as an eyewitness.
You talking about Gary Welts?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
I got the
guy,
videos. I'll grab them for you in a few minutes and I'll throw them in the chat.
Yeah,
I got the Pentagon and the New York Street one.
That's it's definitely him. I mean, that he's an actor and he's like, you know, even in his acting reel, you can see where, you know, he changes his appearance for different roles. And that's exactly what he was doing on 9/11. He's like a street person. He's like a person on the street giving up. And in that particular video, there was like people behind him with like the semi-transparent heads and all that. Remember that one? It was like where their heads partially disappear. There's some kind of layering special effect gone wrong. Yeah.
I remember.
But he's right there in the foreground, and it's.
I didn't notice he was in that one too.
Yeah, it's like this is not Dallas Goldpug territory. I mean, it is like definitely.
Oh, I know. I wouldn't expect you to come out with Dallas Goldpug stuff.
No, I know, but some of this stuff kind of gets into. I think I'm not going to slam Postal Service. I think he does a lot of good stuff, but I think he's kind of treading into Dallas Goldpug territory with the comparisons that he's making on some of his stuff. But you know, okay, that could be just. I think that I'm pretty good at faces. I mean, I myself never forget a face. I've seen people like that I haven't seen in like 15 years, 20 years, and I recognize them. And I say, hey, I know you. And then, oh, yeah, I'm so-and-so. Oh, yeah, that's what you went to high school. Yeah, it's like, you know, and they look totally different. Even when they went to high school, I still recognize them. So I'm actually really good with faces. And like, I don't think so. Some of these compare, but you know, okay, that's whatever the case. A lot of times it's really hard to definitively pin anything down. You know what I mean? Like, okay, this person looks a lot like that other person, but it's not
100%. Yeah, you can't be 100% sure.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that look like other people. You know, it's like, that look a lot like other people, but they're not the same person. And if you kind of really study their face, it's like, okay, yeah, the eyes are different, and then this and that is different. And then that's where, like, somebody...
You've got to be really sure about that stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes. It's tempting to say something is a match, too, when it isn't, you know, because you see it so much.
Yeah, I could get you into this kind of gray area where it's like somebody like Dallas Goldbug. No, I think that he's definitely some kind
It's easy what he does, Chris. He's there to poison the well.
Yeah.
He's there to make people like us that are looking into these things that we're talking about right now to make us look bad. So when we try to explain to people about media fakery, and we try to specifically explain about actors being used in hoaxes and staged media events, then they relate it to, oh, that Dallas Goldbug. And no, it's not like him, because he has the stupid idea that they use famous actors. I mean, he has, like, Tom Hanks and people of this caliber playing these different roles. Now, why would they ever use an actor that they're going to recognize, and they're going to have to pay these people way more money, and those people have a lot more to lose? It would never happen. Why would they use famous actors when they could use nobodies? And that's why you see such piss-poor acting, because they do use nobodies. They can't use famous actors. This guy had the whole MTV crew of Jackass out there. He had Russell Crowe with somebody. Dude, he had, like, some big-time actors, too, not just them MTV guys. Like, I forget who, but he had a lot of crazy ones, man.
There was
crazy
one, though, that I saw where okay, it's the attorney on this Ferguson case.
Yeah.
And he's saying it's some comedian guy. And then he's saying, like, the other guy, the witness, the main witness or whatever, is this comedian guy's son. And then when he did, like, a comparison, I was like, I don't know, man. That's pretty good. I mean, like, now, so here's my take on it. Okay, I know what he's saying. Okay, he's putting this out there. And I think, you know, Dallas Goldberg's a shill. Don't get me wrong. But once in a while, I don't look at all this stuff, but once in a while, I've seen him put out stuff where it's like, you know, that could be the
same. Well, they got to give him a little credibility. Now, me, Justin, and James were actually all under the same premise that they actually gave him the Giffords. He seemed to be on with the Gifford shooting because there were people that played in that role, moving her away and that sheriff and stuff, and they were playing other roles. And they were dead on those ones. That wasn't no compare to here. I mean, they were 100%.
Right,
And that's when he kind of came on the scene. I think they gave him that to give us a little golden nugget so people would trust him a little bit. And then he just went crazy with
he's
it.
He's got some – I think he's got some legit stuff mixed in with his bull crap. Of course, I think they all do, like all of them agents like that. And Robert put this in the chat. Prosopagnosia, I'm not saying that right, but it's like there's certain people that can't recognize faces. They can't remember faces, and they can't recognize faces. I mean, they could see you their whole life, and then the next day not recognize you. They don't have that part of the brain that's not developed or something that allows them to recognize faces. And maybe there's enough of the people out there that have, like, either a touch of that or they have that to one. Because I think a lot of these conditions and stuff, I don't think they're either or. It's not either you have it or you don't. I think there's, like, varying degrees of it. And I think that's how some of this stuff works. It's like, or especially with this actor comparison stuff, it's like, there's a big enough segment of the population that could be totally taken in by something like that because they got this prosopagnosia to one degree or another, maybe to like a touch of it or where they could see two similar looking people and just go, well, bingo, wow, it's the same person for sure. And then, you know, Dallas Goldberg out there mixing in legit stuff with the totally absurd stuff. I mean, come on, like JFK is Jimmy Carter, Rosalind Carter is the Fonz is Ahmadinejad. Yeah.
You gotta admit though, the stretches he makes are just like entertaining. I mean, when he puts a new video out, I mean, I usually go check it out just to be entertained, not even for any type of debunking or factual. I mean, it's just hilarious. The fun, the Zogman jab.
The air is better than the fingerprint.
I know, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Absolutely insane.
And then he'll go to his next comparison, and then he's like, he doesn't even compare the ear. And then look
he
at the ear, and it's like, okay, it's completely different ears. Dallas, what about the ears? And he doesn't even talk about the ears.
Oh, well, the ears are easily interchangeable.
makeup. Prosthetic ears.
Yeah, that goes back to that Penn and Teller video I sent you today about the seven rules of magic, the ditching, stealing, loading, simulation, misdirection. There was two others I'm missing, but he's clearly there for a misdirection switch where you're actually switching from pursuing truth to pursuing this misdirection that he's
poisoning doing. The well.
Misdirection, yeah, poisoning the well, yeah.
He's doing. He's poisoning the media fake reel, poisoning the whole angle that they use actors in these events. It makes it laughable.
You guys know Ozzy Ben Oswald was his
Of course. Yeah.
So he came out with that. Okay, the Harley guy was this actor.
Mark Walsh.
No,
Mark Walsh, Mark Humphreys.
Yeah, that's who it is, but it or some guy that goes by the name of Mark Wallace that's on radio and
he
all
said
that.
He was the Canadian act of Mark Humphreys, right?
Yeah, he's saying this guy, Mark Humphreys. And I mean he just hammered on that for the longest time. And I remember back when he was doing that, I sent him an email and I said, "Hey, you know, one thing, this video is really poor quality for one thing." And it's like the guy's voice doesn't even sound anything like this other guy. And he got pissed, man, or he pretended he was, or whatever. And
no argument now because the guy that really did it admitted to it. He's come out on the Opie and Anthony show and said, "Yeah, that's me. I'm the guy that did the 9/11 video on the street."
Oh yeah, definitely. He's no doubt. I mean, okay, there's you could find this, but there's I had it on my blog. I don't know if it got taken down or not, but if you watch the total the entire video or the interview, the alleged interview, whatever, from the very beginning.
Yeah, he calls
Leventhal
him a Fox
introduces
freelancer.
Introduces him. He says
Fox freelancer.
Yeah, he says this is Mark Wallace. He's a Fox freelancer and blah blah blah. And then he goes into asking him what he saw. I saw the
He does guest appearances on Opie and Anthony, and they brought him out one time and I was watching it. And he admitted they asked him about that if he was the guy, and he admitted the whole thing.
Yeah.
The video, it was definitely him.
But so was this Ozzy Ben Oswald guy? Was that his job to misdirect people and to head them off at the pass? Because that was gonna.
Didn't Ozzy Ben Oswald? Now correct me if I'm wrong. He might have just re-shared it. But isn't he the one that put out the fake video, the smoke and mirrors one? That's not a legit CGI video.
Maybe he did. Yeah.
Do you know which video I'm talking about?
Is it the one where you see the smoke repeated?
Yeah, the really, really black smoke on the towers, and somebody tried to put it off, like the networks aired it, and it was proof of media fakery. And you look at it, it was definitely proof of media fakery, but if you go back in the archives, it wasn't even in there, so it was never even aired. So somebody put it on YouTube to make us go on it and hop on it and show people, "Hey, look at the news fake this, blah, blah, blah," and all they would have to do was go in the archive and prove us wrong and debunk the whole theory right there. And I know that he has it up at one point, but I'm not sure if he's the one that originated it. But that was definitely not aired on the news. I went back and checked myself.
Could be.
So I know he's been around. I know he's had different feuds with different people and every shit. You know what I mean? I've seen him around. I know he's been doing this for a little while. I've never talked to him, though. Have you talked to him? Does he seem legit?
I haven't spoken to him. I emailed him. I mean, emailed back and forth. It's been a long time ago, a couple of times.
I talked to Goldbug when he first got going. He tried to get on my radio station, and he started buddying up with Phil, and Phil tried to put him on. And then me and Justin told Phil, like, "Phil, no way. This guy is. We're not putting this guy on. This guy's full of nonsense."
Phil Jahan.
Yeah, retard.
You talked to Phil Jahan?
No, back then I did. You know I don't talk to him now. Back then, I'm saying. Back then, Dallas Goldbug talked to Phil Jahan, and I was doing those shows on The Last American, like in 2011, 2010. And Jahan approached me trying to fucking ask if we could put Dallas Goldbug on. He's like, "I got this guy. He did this research. We want to put on this radio show in between this one and that." And he told me who, and me and Justin just laughed. We're like, "Phil, we're not putting him on. You haven't even looked at this guy's research? It's a joke." Phil's a joke, though. You know that.
Yeah, he was trying to get you to get on the Dallas Goldbug.
Yeah, just like he's trying to. He's just that guy's a piece of work, I'll tell you. I'm not going to get
him he's quite the character. I don't dismiss all the stuff he's put out, though. I mean.
Oh, no, he put out a lot of solid info on 9/11, but.
Yeah.
He's got an agenda, too.
Yeah, that tactic, I mean, to dribble this stuff out, and then, like,
Oh, he had an absolute policy. You were not allowed to talk about any fake video on 9/11. You get banned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just, if you're really looking for the truth, how can you have a policy like that? Come on. You know what I mean? I got even theories I know, way out there that I don't believe, like Judy Wood or something. If somebody wants to talk about it on my site, who am I to ban them? You know what I mean? Unless they were just trolling it and just kept dropping links to a book or something over and over and never discussed anything. But I wouldn't just ban somebody.
Yeah.
That guy, I swear, he gets a hot-on from banning people. You ever go through the site and see how many people he's banned? Like, they're all crossed out, all these names? It's ridiculous.
No, I kind of stay away from forums in general.
Yeah.
I just never, I mean, I just...
They're too clicky. They if you don't agree with their general overall thing, you know?
Yeah, I just have so many bad experiences with them. I a long time ago, I quit using
forums. Yeah, I was a member of two, and I got banned from both, so... You know the story.
Yeah, it's kind of...
They stayed away from it, too.
That's why when I kind of found out about the Media Fakery stuff and all that, I was, like, looking for, a format like this, you know? And
yeah.
That's when I ran across Marcus and stuff, and because I was wondering, like, okay... Man, there's a lot of stuff out there on those, like, September Clues forum, and there's, like, different forums, there's different blogs, there's, like, Killtown blog, there's just a lot of stuff. And then, like, there was, one group that was talking about it, and that was Paula Gloria.
Yeah.
And then I was like, man, is there any just kind of average people that are talking about this? And then I just have to think of it. There's got to be people out somewhere that are talking about
it. You know what? When I thought the same thing, and you know who I found? I found you and Marcus, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it for a long time, I can tell you. There weren't many people talking about this when I first met up with you guys back in, like, 2010 or whatever, 2011, whenever it was. I think it was late 2010.
Yeah, there was, but then, you know, like, around that time, like, looking into the stuff, and then, like, there's, you know, the Osbourne Oswald guy out there, you know, Simon Shack, there was kind of a battle between them two. There was, like, all this crazy drama going on, and then there was stuff that was happening with, what's the guy's name that was pretty prominent for a while,
Baker?
And he dropped out
Ace
of it.
Ace Baker?
Who?
Ace Baker.
Well, there was Ace Baker, and then there was another guy, Australian, Genghis?
Oh, Genghis, yeah. All right, I know who you're talking about.
And then, so all this different stuff that was going on, and then nobody, like, there wasn't anything, like, where people were getting together talking about it on any kind of, because that's what I was looking for, a podcast or a talk or a group or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how I still don't remember exactly how I found out about Marcus's stuff. It was like a fluke thing. I'm pretty sure it was just kind of a, where I just happened to cross it somehow in a forum or something, maybe. So I don't participate in forums, but I read forums, not a whole lot, but I do read forums. But bum, 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 bum. So it's almost 9 o'clock, and this is Hoaxbusters Call, October 6, 2014. Damon, he dropped out. He's got to take care of his children and his goats.
His goats. Hey, goat.
He's a goat farmer. And Brian Staveley from the Real News. But
Real
tell
News
me how it's
online.
The
Real News Online.com.
The
Real
News
Online. The Real News Online.com. And you can find everything there. Radio shows, blogs, everything we do.
Yeah, you have a lot of audios posted up there and postings.
Everything. Yeah, every audio, every show I've ever done and every show I've ever been on. So even the show I'll have up there by like tomorrow.
Yeah, you've got a real good 9/11 thing that's all on one page, isn't it? Kind of scrolls down.
Yeah.
It's got all those crazy photos and stuff.
Yeah, it goes with the I get the audio embedded on there from one of the shows you did with us. So I got a couple pages set up like that, so they'll have the audio embedded on it, so you can left click to play it, or you can right click and save it. But if you just play it, it'll open in a new window. You can hear the 9/11 show, and we'll walk you through all the evidence. So every video and picture and stuff we talk about, I pretty much have it all right on the webpage, so you can see it.
And you got your call with the dude that was there at ground so-called zero.
Yep.
Where people are milling around barbecuing hamburgers and...
Yeah, that's what they had him doing. He went to work in an emergency, you know, like a makeshift triage thing that they sent up. And they had him flipping burgers all day. And so,
yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks. If they think that guy was legit, or I think he was legit. It's funny that, okay, they had the other guy, the French photographer that Simon Chak and Tim from the Tim Abbarato talked to him.
Yeah.
You heard that one. And put their two stories together. And now if those two guys are independent of each other, their stories jive, they line up. It's like the same basic kind of scenario that they both kind of lay out there of what was actually kind of going on there around that vicinity.
Yeah, and the thing is, this guy, Nick, didn't even notice that anything was going on, because when I had posted in a forum a link to some of my work or whatever, he jumped on there and started, you know, commented negatively towards me, saying, oh, I was there, blah, 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 blah. And so I would ask him pointed questions. Like, oh, what did you see this, that? And he started to think. And then he said he would take my phone call. So he called me on Skype or whatever, and we talked for a few hours, and he told me his whole deal. And as he was going through it, he was like, wow, you know, he started to realize everything he was saying didn't make any sense. And then he started to, you know, he told me about the triage. He worked in the triage, emergency triage thing. And they had him flipping burgers all day. And then he asked, where's the engine? And they said, there are no engine. And the way they said it to him was kind of like, you know, like, guy, you should know. You know, probably because he was inside the perimeter or whatever. I don't know how it was.
They thought he was in on the deal, but he wasn't. He was some
exactly.
guy that wandered up.
Yeah. Of course, they thought he was in because he was back there flipping burgers.
And then somebody might say, well, how in the world would somebody be able to reach that perimeter and get up in there like that? And I don't think that there would be hardly anybody trying to do that. You know what I mean? Because of the way people are in general, and I think they fully understood that. And then, okay, the guy gets in, and he still doesn't connect in his mind that what he is experiencing
exactly.
directly.
He was involved in it. He was actually doing it, and he didn't even know.
And was right there on the scene, involved in it, and didn't see the disconnect between what was being presented on the television and his own direct experience. That's what was really like profound about that. It was like it was something that I totally believe.
Believe him too. I have no reason to distrust him, but I understand if people say, oh, well, how do we know? You don't know nothing about the guy, what he told me. But you listen to all these other accounts that's floated out there, all these bullshit ones, give this guy a shot, because this guy comes across as nothing but honest.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I know the guy or that I know he's on the up and up and everything, but what I'm saying that, like, he sounds totally convincing, and... What I'm saying is what I totally believe is that you could have people that could have been right there on the scene and never make – it was like the guy that I called in Japan. Did you hear that call when I called
Japan? Yeah, I know about the guy in Japan. Yeah, the guy you called about the earthquake.
Yeah, it was a lot like that where it's like, okay, I'm just asking him just, you know, some real direct questions. And he was talking about, how, like, okay, he heard about the earthquake and it happened. And then not too long after that, him and his girlfriend go to the store to get some beer and some, you know, food and stuff. And then he relates to me how he didn't see any broken glass. He didn't see any damaged buildings. He didn't mention anything about people evacuating, coming up from the coast, or anything like that. Nothing like that. It was like his whole accounting of it. And he was in Miyagi Prefecture in Sendai, which was pretty close to the shoreline. And the epicenter of the quake, according to the news and all that, would have put Miyagi as the closest, or Sendai, as the closest city to the epicenter that was in Japan. And so that's why I looked up Sendai, and I started going down the list in Skype, and I started calling people. And then back then, that version of Skype allowed you to, like, filter people, like, by what language they spoke. So I looked up, obviously English, and I found that guy, and I just called him up, and he just, I called, probably a dozen or so different people before anybody actually picked up, and then the guy picked
that
up.
That was a good call. I remember that call. That was good.
Yeah, that would be real hard to do now with the way they've changed Skype.
Why? What did they change in Skype? I don't like how I can't personally control people's volumes or even mute them.
Yeah, they changed that whole directory thing where if you bring somebody up and then you call, you could call, and then it takes you completely out of the search feature and everything. So you have to start from the very beginning every time you call. Used to, you can just go down through a list and do that. And it was like a really nice tool, like, for doing stuff like that, but not anymore. People could be right there, and what they're experiencing is completely out of touch with what is being presented in the media, and it still doesn't sink in. It doesn't. They don't like the guy. He's there at 9/11. Okay, what are we doing here? Do you mind manning the grill? What is the grill? What are they flipping burn? What are they doing? There's like all these. There's this massive disaster that happened. There should be just hundreds and hundreds of injured people, at least injured from breathing in dust and shit, passing out and falling out and shit. Never mind somebody that'd be hit by debris or glass or slipping and falling or having a heart attack or tripping over something, or it'd be hundreds and hundreds. They said there was 100,000 people in the towers, or 50,000 or whatever.
50,000, yeah.
50,000. I mean, shit.
So there should be 47,000 people on the street, but there's not a single video of one of them leaving the towers.
Okay. Nobody's going to be flipping burgers, dude. No way. But the guy's like straight up. He's like, just a matter of factly, yeah, okay. So we go back on. I see these like studio lighting for one thing.
Yep.
And then he's describing like the scene there. Oh, yeah. And then he's like thinking he can help out and stuff like that. And they put him on the grill.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's just insane.
That is believable to me, and I do believe that on 9/11 you could have strolled right up to the scene if you were so inclined. And,
yeah, because they probably didn't want to make it too obvious. They could cordon a lot of it off to up close because there's obviously a danger if they're supposed to be on fire or whatever, you know?
No, I think they did have it cordoned off.
Yeah, but you could be blocks away like he supposedly was, you know what I'm saying?
They did have like a perimeter around it and stuff like that, but
yeah,
I don't think
in a perimeter.
I don't think they were so concerned with it because what happened with this guy, and I think he was legit and telling the truth. That they knew that's what would that people, even if it contradicted their, because there's studies on that. There's university studies where they take people and they they've done experiments on them, and they say that they will take the video account over their own direct experience that they just went through. They have this. They did a study on people where, during the scenario of the study, they have people that are to watch other people and then report if they see that they were cheating. And then they're one person, he's participating in the study, he's watching this other person, and then he doesn't notice the cheating or anything like that. They play back a video that directly contradicts what he just got through seeing. And then says, yeah, see, we caught the guy, he was cheating there. And it's like, what do they go with? They go with the video. They don't go with their own direct experience. Because there was an authority figure present that showed them a piece of video that contradicted something that they had just witnessed with their own two eyes, and they go with the video. They did. I believe that study. I believe that they really did a study, and that really was the conclusion, that people will take video over their own direct experience. And it was done in such a way where it's not like the people thought that maybe they saw it from the wrong angle or whatever. No, it was a direct the video was in direct contradiction of what they had just witnessed with their own eyes, and they took the video account and the authority figure presenting it as truth over their own experience.
Yeah, people, you know, there's people that'll just, like the people that say they saw the plane that know they didn't, you know. A friend of mine, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hold on one second, dude. One second.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that out there.
No, because my friend's here right now. It's actually about his brother, so I didn't want to say it in front of him. But his brother hits me up on Facebook, like, this is like 2 years ago. And the guy's a total dickhead anyway. He's always been a dick to everybody. He's a big bully. He's a big, huge guy. He's like 6'5", 200 and something pounds, jacked out of his mind, like 260. Like he's a bully. He bullies on everybody. So anyways, he hits me up on Facebook. He's like, I don't really want to get into it on Facebook in my inbox. But he's like, but there were definitely planes on 9/11, right? So I says to him, and he lived in New York for a while. So I says to him, I said, oh, how do you know that? Did you see them? He said, no, I know because my road crew, because he did paving, he said, my road crew was working on the lower deck of the West Side Highway.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, so you seen it? He said, no, but the rest of my crew did. So I'm like, oh, so you didn't see it, though? He said, no. I'm like, well, did you hear it? Because, you know, when it hit the towers, supposedly, I mean, it was only 90 stories up at the most. I mean, that's like 1,000 feet. I mean, it should have been vibrating you as it went over the West Side Highway. It's not that far. And
uh-huh.
You know what his response was to that? I haven't heard from 2 years.
He didn't say nothing.
That was the end of the conversation.
He probably was convinced that he, what, you know, that...
No, he knows he didn't see anything. He knows he didn't hear anything. He's not convinced. He's just a dick and is just going to argue with me and say that he was there to say that he was there, because there are some people that aren't convinced and they just want to say that they've seen it because they were in New York. And he wants to be that guy. He wants to say he's seen the plane, and he wants to be confrontational because that's how he is. And he was in New York, but he didn't see no plane. And how could you be working on the West Side Highway with your crew and everybody sees it but you, and you don't hear it either? That's a double-decker highway. It's got a highway above it. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like being in a base box and that jet goes over it. There's no way you wouldn't hear it. Like, you'd be vibrating.
No way,
pictures of the West Side Highway, right? It's not that far from the towers at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's probably a lot of people, too, that even come on that they see the... I don't know how many of them are just directly, you know, paid shills that sit around in these cubicles, Department of Homeland Security for the government, and like their job is to, like it said in some of those government documents, you know, that they would put out stuff to counter, you know, conspiracy theories and all that. The government would be doing that, like placing people out there on the internet to.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Counter, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely out there. And you tell they're operating on your videos
I've dealt
and your site.
Yeah.
Of them.
Yeah, I've dealt with people photoshopping me in places, people impersonating me, all types of shit.
But I wonder if, like, some of these people are just like your friend that, you know, they just...
No, I know some of the people are just pranksters, you know, but there's definitely some serious people that are trying to cause me a lot of issues. And they've had accounts of mine shut down, things that my friends can't do, you know? Like my Facebook group with 300-something people got shut down. Another time I got banned for no reason for some type of content that I didn't put any explicit content up. I got banned for like a month.
Oh, yeah.
And then you know how it is with the videos. I mean, half of my fucking YouTube videos are gone. I take 10 months off, I come back, half of my videos are gone.
Oh, what happened to your videos?
They took them down.
YouTube
deleted them.
Took them down?
Yeah, either YouTube or the users that posted them. So I'm thinking YouTube because it's all 9/11 videos. It's none of the other ones, you know. Half of them are gone. Luckily, I'm ahead of the curve, and like 4 years ago, I backed up almost all the videos on my hard drive, you know. But there was still a bunch that I added after that I don't have now. But half of those might be gone, so some are lost. But hopefully I can get them back. Maybe I'll have to go dig through Camera Planet or something. But that's so tedious. There's so many videos over there, you know.
Yeah, that's a lot of that going on, and accounts being banned. Like, you hit that all the time. Where
yeah, everybody gets that.
Yeah,
where you're not the only one. I'm just saying I experienced it for sure.
Yeah, you get these, you have a video embedded into a forum or something like that, and then it's talking about something related to that, yeah, fakery
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, and then they're like, guy, your video's down, you look like a fool. Yeah, that's happened to me.
Yeah, I've run into that quite a bit. Like, I've got to the point where, because they've done that to me where I put up something and they immediately come back saying that it's, you know, copyright violation and all that. And I just, you know, fill out that form and I explain, yeah, you know, okay, I'm overdubbing it with commentary. So that's clearly falls within the fair use so-called act and all that.
Oh, that's all you're going to do?
Yeah, and then they just take the hold off of it. That I've had that happen for once or twice, and in my experience, that resolves it. But you do have to take the time to fill out that. It's not a lot to fill out. It's just a little kind of short. He's got a little area for the ex, you know, where you tell them, yeah, I'm, you know, this is for commentary, this is for educational purposes and all that. And then I've never had a problem with them taking the hold off the video. I think that's
really?
Happened to me twice.
Most people don't even think to try, like me. I've never even tried to get them to reverse their stance on it.
So, yeah, maybe that's what's going on because it, you know, I'm not making excuses for YouTube, but, Because what doesn't make sense to me is, like, I mean, you'll see a video that's been taken down, and then another video that's, like, it's, like, basically the same thing, but it's, like, allowed to stay up.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I did. Remember I told you they took video down and I grabbed it again? The Dr. Oz one, you know? Well, actually, that was his archive on his site that took it down, and I took it down. I got it back off YouTube, but I think the ones on his site were already YouTube videos, because you know how some sites' videos are YouTube already? I think his were. So I think they did take it down, and then I grabbed the same one somewhere.
Yeah, I think there's some censorship going on, too. I don't know. It's like this kind of... But then, you know, like, I have an experience personally myself. I mean... You know, I've had...
No,
and
you've talked about sensitive stuff, too, you know? You don't censor anything you say.
Yeah, and I've had videos, they come back and tell me that it's that I've been in violation, and then, like, I've had, you know, like I said, I come back with that, you know, hey, this is fair use by every definition of what that is, and I just lay it out there real kind of cut and dry, and then, like, it's like within a day or two, they take the hold off, and it's online and it's available. So maybe that's happening to people and then they don't contest it, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening in some of these cases. Could be.
Well, I guarantee that's what's happening. That's what happened with me. I haven't.
Yeah, you say it's happening. That's what happened to you. Like, you didn't go back on there and tell them it's fair use and all that. Yeah. Because that may be just automated, you know, because they got that stuff that they can recognize songs and recognize stuff out of movies and whatnot. That it's just all automated, and it probably maybe just automatically flags it. Because I doubt it's...
So what do they do? Search for any clip that says it was just like a movie and then take them all down?
Yeah. Keyword, buzz phrase searches and all that. They probably all have that stuff automated.
Yeah. Chris, I'm going to have to go in like 5 minutes.
All right, man.
I'm going to take off with a couple friends to go somewhere. But thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, anytime. Cool. And you're at the Real News.
The Real News Online.com. I dropped some links in the chat for your people earlier. I'm having trouble logging in because it's making feedback. So when I hang up the call, I'll jump back in the chat and drop my links again.
Okay. So you're going to be doing a show?
Either this Wednesday or next Wednesday. I still got to talk to the boys. I want to do one this Wednesday. I'm not sure how prepared they are. So if not this week, we're going to do one next week. It'll be Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on therealnewsonline.com. And all you have to do is, when you get to the site, it's pretty self-explanatory. There's a radio page. You go to the radio page. There's a chat there. And there's the Skype handle and the telephone number. So however you want to call in, you can call in. We always take live calls. There's a radio archive page on every show we've ever done, listed in order and labeled by content and guest. Get some feedback.
Oh.
And there is a blog section where the three of us, me and my two co-hosts, James Sloan and Justin Cook, we've written some pretty extensive blogs on some things. And like Chris said, we have the 9/11 page. It's got audio embedded in it, so you can just click at the play. It'll open in a new window, and you can follow along on the page. And we have a few pages like that, a few shows I did with guest appearances like Fetzer or whatever. I had a page for that show. The media fakery special we did covering all different media fakery like a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a page just for that. The audio is embedded on there. It's got follow-along evidence, and it's pretty self-explanatory. The guy, Nick, that you were talking about from New York, the witness, Manhattan.
Uh-huh.
There's a page called 9/11 Witness Manhattan, Manhattan Witness. If you just go to that, his audio is right there, and all that's on there, it's not a video fakery page like the other ones or anything. It's just a map of Manhattan, and we mapped out his route. So as he's talking, you can follow along the map and see like where he went, so you can get a kind of idea of like what the perimeter might have been or whatever. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that's about it. The About Us section has all my contact info if anybody wants to reach me. But I'll get off now and let you go. Thanks, Chris, and I'll talk to you this week.
All right, thanks, Brian.
All right, buddy.
Man.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have fun.
Goodbye.
Take it easy. Looks like a caller enter from North New Jersey.
Yeah. Hi, Chris. This is Joey Z from Jersey. I was hoping to say hi to Brian because I've been, you know, on his chat room thing, going back with him a little bit here and there, but I think he just clicked off, right?
Yeah. You should have just busted in, man.
Well, I did, but I hit, what is it? Is it a star 8?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I muted you because I thought it was just because it sounded like there was like some, it just sounded like background, like I thought it was like you're at a club or something, or a restaurant.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say hi to him, and we were talking a little bit on his thing about the Hezekani film and stuff. It's in his chat area. His last show, it was pretty good. And I just wanted to say hi. But I was also going to mention to some of the people on there who watch the television, for a while, I live with somebody who watches the television a lot, my 80-year-old dad, but he knows all of the stuff that basically you know. The only thing he still clings to is the Catholicism, believe it or not. But he actually discovered the plane issues before me. When the 9/11, did you see the 9/11 octopus?
Yeah.
Remember?
Uh-huh.
That's when we...
I remember that. Your dad told you about it? He's like 80 years old?
Yeah, well, he was 76. He was Jesuit trained, believe it or not. So, like, he was trained to see that, but everybody's blind in their own way. You know what I mean? You should know.
Oh, wait a minute. Like, what do you mean Jesuit trained? Like, he went to a Jesuit...
Jesuit college, all the whole nine yards with all those guys. But not a Jesuit. It's like, not everybody's what they think it is. You know, it's just that's who taught you. You're brought up as a Catholic. That's your faith. You've believed in it so many years that you don't want to, you know, part from it. You've gone this far, so you're not going to change.
Uh-huh.
And but he sees everything else. But I wanted to bring up to Brian also, and I know you got in your chat. I'm not near my computer now. Kay Hamad's on there. She's still watching television, I know, once in a while. But I'm also what you would call functionally bilingual. Keep up. I watched some of the Spanish news, and I watched a few months ago. I started noticing when they're on location, they're not on location. They're green screen. Not all the time. So I went off on that a while, and I got sick of looking at the TV because I go nuts. It's the same propaganda on the Spanish networks as it is on the English networks. And it's owned by the same people. Oh, God, yeah. They pound the same shit, the same diseases. They're great slaves. You know, don't eat salt, don't eat fat, get your vaccination, you know, same crap. But, so I started noticing, you know, cut out of the background, and once in a while they're on the scene, and they, you know, this guy can't be there, they don't have that much money, then you'll see like an elbow pass to a head. And then I watched some of the U.S. American news, got into it a couple months, like about a month ago. I got forced watching it. It's the same shit. These folks are supposed to be, like, in certain areas, they're supposed to be on location. They're not on location.
Right.
Yeah, if you hear a little bit of the voice breaking up on it, I'm on a cheap cell phone, so I try to speak more directly. So.
Yeah, it's breaking up a little bit. I can hear it pretty good.
Keep steady. And anyway, so I'm noticing this, too, with a lot of the stories when they're supposed to be on a location of a big scene at a local PSYOP or something happened. Even in the little shit, what happens didn't happen, you know? And the people that are on the scene news reporting, or they might be in Long Island, they might be anywhere in the country, you'll notice that the same telltale signs. Now, what I'm talking, like, when we watch the Stargate Studios, remember when you covered all of that and you watched that thoroughly and you started to pick out with all the TV shows. Now, he still watches these TV shows, you know, with all the, you know, the spies and the, I'm trying to think, oh, what the heck's his favorite one? But I always point out to him and he goes crazy, but now you can't stop. Everything is green screen.
Mm-hmm.
They never shoot on a location. All the backdrops in there are there, whether it's in New York, places that I've visited quite a few times, or Washington, D.C., they're always acting in a studio against backdrops of the actual places. But for the people out there who still watch a little bit of television, watch a lot. It's not always. But these news repeaters, they're not usually on the scene when they say they're on the scene. And outside of being cut out from the background, you also have, you know, like with Anderson Cooper when he had his nose cut off, the Charles Jaco shit.
Uh-huh.
It's all the time. And you know what I think, Chris? They've been doing this for quite some time on the TV, so, you know, people keep your eyes open. They're faking. Obviously, they're faking the news, but they're faking being there. It's completely insane. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if you still catch that on a little bit of TV, but if you do, keep a look at it.
So they're using green screen just everywhere now, yeah.
It's
so good now. It's so good. I mean, it's a technology that has been pretty much perfected where I bet that a lot of times it's it's really difficult to distinguish when somebody's doing. I've seen stuff before though where it was. I saw something on the Weather Channel, and it was supposedly like footage that somebody had sent in of like some flooding that was happening somewhere.
Could have been in Jersey.
No, I don't think it was in Jersey, but it was like you see in the scene this woman holding like a cell phone. But what was funny about it, I was like pointing it out. It's like look at the okay. Should you be able to see the woman holding the cell phone if she's mm-hmm. taking the footage? No, you shouldn't be able to see that. But that's what it looked like. So I guess you could say that it was maybe somebody standing behind her, filming the scene, which that doesn't make sense either. But anyway, there was that going on. And then there was this barn that was floating on top of the water. It was like one of those stock image red barns with the white trim. And it was just like bobbing up and down on top of the water like a fishing cork. And it is just floating down the stream. And I say, wait a minute. That is not real, because if a barn popped off its foundation like that, it wouldn't float on top of the water like that. It just wouldn't float like that. There's just no way that a barn is going to, a fully intact red barn is just going to be floating along down the river like that. It was so surreal, stupid looking. It was like, I mean, it was realistic, but it was like showing something that, it's not going to happen. I just noticed it right away. I said, that's got to be fake. I mean, that barn is not going to float like that. There's no
that's
way it's going to float. I'm sorry, what's that again?
That's not really what barns do, huh? Like the Japanese stuff where they were floating forever, where they would have busted off the foundations and separated. Yeah. So here's another telltale sign. When I'm watching a lot of these on the news reporters, they ignore it. Like I still like with my dad will watch like some of the Ranger games with the hockey. I used to be a passionate hockey fan. I played hockey. Look, and I hockey all my life growing up from age 5 into my 20s and stuff like that. But I don't get excited about it. Now when they show it, Madison Square Garden, when there's a game, the people in the, like, the presenters are like before or after a game will be there, but the people who are coming or going are behind the plexiglass, and every time there's a camera, they're always waving, and it's jumping up and down and making themselves be noticed. But I noticed with a lot of these on-the-scenes reporters, they ignore the camera people. Did you ever see people ignore TV cameras? They always ignore the people on, you know, the series, whether it's Spanish or the English channels or anything else. They ignore the reporters on the street reporting an incident. So that's another telltale sign of it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you
think
about that.
Right, yeah.
That also looks crazy. And I was thinking when Brian was talking about his guy, on 9/11, with me on 9/11, the craziest thought I had back then, because I went to school in the area, but at that time it was the day before my 40th birthday, and it had happened, so I didn't go out really that day, and I went for a hike. Now I live in the mountainous area, and
mm-hmm.
a mile up the road is the Bear Fort Mountains. And there's a fire escape where you would go as a kid, or you would carve your girlfriend's name in a tree or whatever.